The subject tonight is the outworking of the subject we considered Lord's Day, limited atonement. That was a certain teaching of the Calvinists, and we're going to look into what the Scripture says about it in a practical way. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the atonement. But look, please, in verse 10, we were reconciled, much more being reconciled. And in verse 11, it is the same root word. It's from katalasso, which means to change from one thing to another. And so it should be, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Now, look at verse 15. But not as the trespass, so also is the free gift. For if the trespass of the one, by that many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound unto the many. And not as the through one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment came of one unto condemnation, but the free gift came of many trespasses unto justification. For if by the trespass of the one death reigned through the one, much more shall they that receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, even Jesus Christ. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who for their sake died and rose again. Wherefore, we henceforth know no man after the flesh, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him so no more. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us. We beseech on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful not only for the simple things you tell us in your word, but for the deep things as well. And you have explained your word as being heavy things and light things, and deep things and hard things and simple things. And so we pray that tonight, this subject that is a difficult subject, we shall be empowered by thy Spirit to express it correctly and explain it, and also to understand it. So bless us, our God, and help us to understand the fullness of the sacrifice of Christ, and also the responsibility that has fallen upon us, we who are among those reconciled to God. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. When it mentions the atonement and the limited atonement, it's the word reconciliation. But it really doesn't make any difference what word you put there. Atonement is a good Old Testament word, one of the most important days of the year for the nation of Israel was the Day of Atonement. And that is the word that is brought over into the New Testament, but it's the same word that is translated reconcile, reconciliation, again and again. This is the only place anywhere in the New Testament that this word is translated atonement. And so the subject tonight is not limited atonement, but limited reconciliation, limited or unlimited. If you listen carefully to the words that I read in Romans 5 and in 2 Corinthians 5, you will see how difficult they are. And I considered the commentaries of the finest minds trying to explain these chapters, and I would go to a particular verse that was difficult, and they would give no explanation of it. None of them. And I found out why. It's because they were not able to give any explanation of it. They would talk around it and talk about it, but they would not say, this is that. And so it required ever so many hours of study, but this is what I have discovered, that at times the Apostle Paul, instead of telling us and expanding how we lay hold on this reconciliation, on the blessings of God, the time is spent simply explaining what this blessing of God is. And you have to look carefully, or else you will only hear of the subject of reconciliation. You'll only hear of the subject of justification. But if you read long enough and consider it deeply enough, this is what you will find. I have found no scripture in the Word of God that ever says that a man has to do anything to be lost. When you came into the world, you were lost. That's what it meant in Romans chapter 5. Listen carefully. It says, concerning one man's sin and all sin. In the King James, all have sinned. That means something you did yourself. But there is a tense in the Greek called the aorist tense, and it's more carefully translated, when one died, all died. When one sinned, all sinned. What does it mean? It means that when Adam sinned, you were included in him as the head of God's earthly creation. And if someone says, I do not accept that, all you have to do to be exempt is to never die. And if you never die, I will agree with you. But it says this, if there is no law, then there is no penalty. There is no suffering the judgment. But it said, when Adam sinned, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those that had not sinned after Adam's transgression. Well, why did they die? Because they were included in Adam's transgression. And I have been reading old literature in the American colonies, and shortly after that, little alphabetical sayings that children learn that they might learn A, B, C. And one of them was this. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. Do you realize that that is what was taught in the schools for hundreds of years until recent times? That is what The Word of God teaches, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. And the proof is this. If little children who have never done anything wrong, and they die, for whose sin do they die? Not their own. But you will find that you are included in the fall of Adam. Now, I've never found any scripture that says we have to do anything to be pronounced under condemnation, because David knew about him. He said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." It says the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. So the scripture tells us that something is wrong with us by birth. And soon after that, you will discover that something is wrong with us by practice. But first of all, it is something in us. I told you about that total depravity and our being possessed by that fallen nature. That nature is the thing that prevails always in the unsaved. And even after you become saved and get a divine nature, it still can prevail unless by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh. So that's the first thing I found. I found that when man sinned in Adam, his sin extended to the whole human race. That's the first thing. That there is no scripture that ever says that you do something to become a sinner, but that you are born a sinner. And the second thing is this, and this is what was so difficult. When you read about Christ dying and rising from the dead, and in 2 Corinthians 5 about, we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead, or then all died. You say, well then, if that is so, then what Adam did in destroying us, what Christ does automatically redeems us. It erases all the sin of Adam, and it puts to our account all the obedience of Christ. Now, it would seem that way, but this is the next thing I discovered. There is never a scripture in the Bible that tells us that we shall partake of the benefits of the death of Christ unless we do something. The first thing I found was that you do not have to do anything to be lost, but you must do something to be saved. To be included in Adam's fall, you simply have to be born. And the Lord Jesus says this, listen carefully, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And he says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so when I read, it seemed as if since Christ died, and when he died, all those sinners in Adam were looked upon as dying as well. You would think then that when Christ rose from the dead and when he gave life, that we were included in that as well. But I looked everywhere and I never found any scripture telling me that I become a partaker of the benefits that flow from the death of Christ unless I do something on my part. Remember that. If you can remember those two things, you have to do nothing to be found under condemnation. But you must do something to be found under reconciliation. Now, listen carefully, and I will show you. In John chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You say, yes, some did not receive him, but the only ones that have power and authority to become God's children are those that receive him and believe on him. Yes, you have to do something to get the benefits of the death of Christ. You have to believe on him. Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have to believe. Listen to what Christ says about getting into eternal life. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Well, what about justification? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You say, well, everything that you've told me afterwards, it's something we have to do, even though all the provision that is ours, potentially in Christ, his death and resurrection, it is not ours until something is done on our part. Listen to the Lord Jesus. He said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You have to believe, or you're going to die in your sins, even though Christ has died for your sins. The Lord Jesus said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. But he prefaces that and he adds to it by saying this, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Give me one verse that tells us that the benefits of the death and resurrection of Christ are ours without doing anything. One verse. And if you find it, you'll be more successful than I. And I will announce your name and praise you if you can ever find any verse that says that the blessings of Christ come to us just because Christ died for us. That God loved the world and gave his only begotten Son. All the benefits that God has in store for us must be laid hold on by faith, by whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's something you have to do. You have to enter in. You have to come. You have to call. You have to believe. You have to repent. All of these things you have to do, or else all that Christ has provided for a lost world are not going to be yours. You say, well, that is a remarkable thing. And for that reason, inasmuch as man has to do something to enter into the blessing that Christ has brought through his death and resurrection, how are men going to be brought to this point where they repent and believe? It says this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? And that is the responsibility that has fallen upon you tonight. I told you when I was speaking about the elect, the chosen, that you were looking at someone who was very special because I was one of the elect. Well, again, I want to tell you something else that's very special about me. I am an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I read in 2 Corinthians 5. But now, if I'm special because I am of the elect, then you are too, if you are of the elect. And if I'm special because I am an ambassador for Christ, you are too, because you are an ambassador for Christ. Not only the apostles, and not only those in New Testament times, but it says, God has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. He's committed it unto us. He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The ministry is the work we do in trying to get men saved. And the word of reconciliation is the content of the message that we give. And so God tells us you have work to do, and there is a message that you have to give to a lost world that they might come into the benefits of the reconciliation that is ours in Christ. Now, no one without doing something ever receives that benefit. And he must know. And that is why God said again and again and again for us to do something. And when he tells us what to do, it shows us that the atonement, that the reconciliation is not limited, but it's unlimited. Listen to this. In Mark 16, it says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Why preach it to every creature if God is only interested in the elect? And unless you are the elect, he's not interested in your being saved. Listen to this. It says in Acts chapter 17, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Well, if he commands all men everywhere to repent, he's trying to get them to be saved. All men, everywhere. Now listen to this. The Lord Jesus at one time in his ministry in Matthew said, "I was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But at the end of his ministry, this is what he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations," not just the Jews, but all the nations, the Jew first and also the Greeks. But the message now is not to the nation of Israel. The message now is to all men everywhere. The gospel is to be preached to every creature. Why? Because God is not willing. That any should perish, but all should come to repentance. All should trust Christ as Savior. But, I told you from 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul said this, "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake." "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." He says, yes, they are elect, but I have to endure it by taking them the message and suffering whatever the consequences are physically on earth to get them the message. And Paul said he was willing to do it. And God wants us to be willing to do it. Why? Because he has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. Now, I mentioned that, and I want to simply tell you the message that we have to give. If we have a message of a limited atonement, we could not with honesty and with a good conscience say, "Whosoever will may come." But I've given you the scriptures. I have given you the scriptures showing that God wants all men everywhere to repent, and he commands them to repent, and he wants us to go and give them the message that will bring about their repentance. And what is the message? That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And that is the message we can give. And the message that we give as ambassadors for Christ and the word of reconciliation is this: Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he rose the third day according to the scriptures. And all of this is proved because he was seen by hundreds of witnesses. And that is the message that we are to give. Listen to what Paul says. He says to the Corinthians, he said, "I begat you through the gospel." It's the only way to win men to Christ. The only way to get them to repent is to preach the gospel. And the gospel is that God has so loved the world, and the whole world is fallen, and God commands all men everywhere to repent, and he is trying to get that message to every man through us. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. He who, without our assistance, could accomplish the work. You remember when the nobleman's son was at the point of death, and he said, "Come down ere my son die." The Lord Jesus said, "Go your way. Your son lives." He did not have to be there. He did not have to speak to that son. He was saved because of the exertion of the power and will of Jesus Christ. But it's not that way for salvation. In Acts chapter 18, the Apostle Paul is in the city of Corinth, and he suffered so much affliction, and yet the Lord Jesus comes to him in the night, and he says this to him. He says, "Do not be afraid, speak and hold not thy peace, because I have much people in this city." You do not know who the elect are, but the Lord Jesus does, and he knows the ones in Durham who are his, who will be saved, and he calls them his own. "I have much people in this city. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life." But what God does is have us as ambassadors for Christ, carrying the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. And if I thought for a moment that Christ's death was not sufficient for all, and that God did not want all men to be saved, then I would be handicapped in my invitation, in those to whom I spoke. I would always wonder if I were telling the truth if I said, "Whosoever will may come." Because I knew that you may not be one that God seriously and truthfully invited to be saved. But he did. So, in brief, just this. Yes, without doing anything we're lost, but we must do something to be saved. And now that we are saved, we who had to do nothing but believe to be saved, he wants us to work for him the rest of our lives. And one of the works is this. It's not only teaching the word of God to those who are saved, but it's carrying the word of God to the lost, the ministry of reconciliation. You have rejoiced in being reconciled to God? Then be obedient as God's minister and go and be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "I begat you through the gospel." Now, that's enough.